is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Today, Chickies and Pete's kicking off holiday gift card season. Special offer, in-store or online, get 50% back what you purchase. So you buy $100 in gift cards, you get a $50 bonus card. ChickiesandPete's.com or in person. Right now, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
So obviously in doing this job, and you guys have done it, you know, people always ask you, or people sometimes ask you to speak in front of crowds.
Uh-huh.
Don't always go the smoothest.
Oh, no.
I would say. And I had a situation over the weekend in this kind of scenario. I was speaking at the ALS United Walk. Great event over at Citizens Bank Park.
Uh-huh.
And I got stuck in a tricky situation. So what I have for you today is the top five toughest things that have happened while talking to a crowd.
Okay.
Number five is mic issues. Either you get too close to the stupid, you get the speaker, and it's all of a sudden it starts blaring.
Feedback.
Yep. Or it's not really working, and then people start yelling at you that the mic's not on or mic's not working.
We can't hear you.
Exactly. It just creates an awkward situation for everyone involved.
Yep.
It's tough to get out of, but it's definitely on the list.
Yeah, the mic issues, I would say, are the ones that make me the most frustrated because there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
And the feedback, if you want to see me get pissy at an event like that...
Doesn't take much.
It's the feedback. The feedback gets me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The demonstrative Spike eye roll.
Yep.
Usually
you know it well.
Yeah, sure do. The fourth toughest thing to happen while talking to a crowd is usually when you go in and you're giving a speech, you always got your one-liner, right? This is going to get the laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then no one laughs at the one-liner.
Because
then you always wait for it, right? You give that awkward, like, pregnant pause.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if no one laughs, then you're just like, well, bleep me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jokes are hard in a situation like that, man.
Yeah, they are, because they sound like they're going to work in your head.
Yes.
And then when you go to deliver the joke, and everybody's like,
Yeah, it's a tough scene.
Especially in a situation like you're talking about, Jack, where people are not super dialed into you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not the thing that they came to see. That, no offense, but like...
Which is shocking.
You're just saying something.
Yeah, were there any beverages?
No.
Adult beverages?
No, it was like early in the morning.
That certainly hurts your chances of getting laughs.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was fine. Except for the situation I got stuck in.
Okay.
The third toughest thing to happen to you while talking to a crowd, we just mentioned not laughing. I think this one is actually worse. It's when people are laughing, but you're not making a joke. That's happened when I've talked at classes before.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, it's the worst. Because then all of a sudden you start thinking to yourself, are they making fun of me? Do I look like an idiot up there? Are they doing an inside joke?
The number one worst class to speak in front of is middle school. Because middle school boys are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
If you're speaking in front of high school, you have people who are interested in their career.
Sure.
Grade school, most of the time, they're pretty respectful. Middle school boys will look at you and giggle and look at each other. And the last time I did it, I said, I'm never doing this again because I wanted to fight all the kids.
What a heartwarming message.
I wanted to fight them. Stop laughing at me.
Knock somebody out.
Yeah.
Well, because middle schoolers, they have no idea what we do.
No. They don't care. And
they don't care, yeah.
And this is the worst, too, when they'll go, does anyone have any questions? Silence.
Oh, yeah.
No one's raising their hand.
Or they do go to the raise a hand and they have that little smirk.
Yeah.
You want to smack that little smirk
right off their faces.
Right off their dumb little faces.
Yep.
The laughing is, it gets in your head.
Yep.
And it ruins the whole speech.
Yep.
The second toughest thing to have happen to you while talking to a crowd, I actually think this is worse than the laughing, Spike. It's if you see someone sleeping.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And I actually talked at my old high school, mm-hmm. and there was the tallest person in the class was asleep in the front row. he was like 6'5",
yeah.
And he was like, he had his legs out, his head was cocked back,
drooling.
Yeah, and you know, it made me actually way more, you know, empathetic towards teachers.
Yes,
because teachers have to deal with that all the time.
Yeah,
so they must have to put on blinders when they.
No, they wake you up.
Well, yeah, you could do that, too. You could just wake them up.
Yeah, they wake you up, man.
I would say worse than sleeping is when people are talking, though. and just paying you no mind whatsoever.
Well, yeah, that's a tough one.
As if you don't even exist.
Yeah.
That happens as well.
Yeah, it makes me want to start doing the, I don't know if you guys were, this was a thing when you guys were in class, but when I was in elementary school, it was like, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Just like start randomly counting down to get the kids in line.
Oh, yeah.
I want to start turning into authoritative guys.
That's mostly in elementary.
It is elementary school.
Yeah, that's elementary.
Not high school.
No.
They would probably laugh harder.
Yes.
If that happened to me in high school.
Elementary, yes.
Yes. But the toughest thing that happened to you while talking to a crowd, and this happened over the weekend, and I got sabotaged by by the script. Because I don't know what I did, but somehow I got lined up with the 6 straight toughest names you could ever say. Like last names. You know, and I'm talking to 1,500 people. I couldn't just stop and like collect my thoughts. I had to keep it rolling. So I'm running through like Pavlovsky and like all these names that.
You had to name off the names?
Yeah, because they're the highest, and they were the highest bit contributors for the fundraising event. So obviously they're doing good work.
Sure.
I couldn't just be like.
You can't just blow by the
name. And I couldn't make a joke out of it like that. That's a weird name, you know? So I just had to keep powering through. I was butchering names in front of like 1,500 people. I feel like an idiot.
But here's the real.
1,500 people are a lot of people.
It was a lot of people. It was like a big time event. It was cool, but oh my goodness, I got sabotaged.
But see, here's where the Jack part really comes into play, is that I'm sure Jack was given the script and did not look at it.
Oh, didn't
before,
the script.
Because anytime there's a name, having done this, you have to double check how the pronunciation on the names. And I would bet $10,000. Jack didn't look at the script before he went out there and started reading it in front of 1,500 people.
Yeah.
I looked at it about 10 minutes before.
Okay.
And I skimmed through the names thinking they were easy. But there was no phonetic spelling on them either, though.
There it is.
You know, there was none of that.
Could I ask somebody and he didn't do it?
No,
I had to do that at a graduation at Temple.
And there's a lot of names there, right?
Well, it was a high school graduation, and I don't think I was doing a commencement speech, but I certainly was one of the speakers there. Yeah, that was sort of nerve-wracking. That was about 10 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking in front of people like that, it is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah.
For me, you know, you do enough of it. Sure. Really, I just need talking points.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, give me a couple bullet points to go through, and I'll mix in a couple things myself. And
make it funny.
We'll get through it. Yeah, we'll get through it. People want to hear about me more than they school stuff anyway.
That's a good way to look at it.
I mean, you know, I want to sit up there and lecture all the kids about staying in school. And
yeah.
You got, they're like, dude, we heard that already. Give us something we haven't heard.
Yeah, what are the Eagles going to do this
year?
Yeah,
how much money you make?
Yeah. The two most nerve-wracking ones I ever had was I officiated a wedding. Writes to Ricky listeners.
I've not done that before.
Kevin and Allie, if you're out there. All I know, I think I did a good job, but I sweat so much. And someone said to me, they're like, don't worry when you go up there. Nobody's there for you anyway.
Yeah, nobody's there for you.
Well, that's true. But also, I'm the only one talking.
Right.
And everyone's quiet. So you can say they're not there for me. But if I promise you, if I say the wrong thing, they're going to notice.
They'll notice you, yes.
So I start off with an Eagles cheer, and it worked.
That's all you got to do, man.
Yep.
And start off with an Eagles cheer and a Ricky thing?
No, at a wedding.
I know, but I thought they were Ricky listeners.
Well, yeah, but you start S-I-X, it's not going to work. If in Philadelphia, you start off with Eagles.
And everybody's Eagles fans.
And I think it was...
I always forget that one. Thanks for the reminder.
It was the bride whose family was from Boston, and I was rubbing it in their faces.
Because I thought you guys did one at one of the parties.
We did. We did do a wedding
but
at a lottery party.
But that wasn't you officiating.
No, it was Pablo Torre.
Oh, right.
Officiated the wedding at the lottery party. And then the other
from
one.
ESPN?
Yeah. He's a friend of the Ricky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Invited him to do it. And
like Pablo Torres.
Well, I still get the emails because I had to register him as a wedding officiant. I had to register him as a, what's it called?
Aficionado, right?
Yeah, but there's another word.
Ordained minister?
Minister, yeah. Yes. So I still get his emails. Hey, Mr. Torre, Reverend Torre, you've been official. So I still get that. And then the other one that didn't go well was I used to do them for bands a lot when I worked for YSP.
Yeah.
So I was doing one at the Trocadero, which is not there anymore. And it was before a band called the Rollins Band, Henry Rollins, a very angry crowd. So I came up after the opening band and before the main band. So I came out there, and the opening band was called Apartment 26. So I went up, and I said, hey, everyone give it up for Apartment 26. Nothing. not a boo. One guy yelled, show your blank, that they would yell at a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Show your blanks.
Yeah.
And I said my name. I said, Rollins Band's coming up, and I got right off the stage. I thought I was going to be murdered up there.
We did the show, remember when BG did it? BG did it.
Oh, yeah. I do remember.
I think that was me and Carlin.
Yes.
Or was that me and Marks?
No, it would have been you and Carlin because it was up in Bucks County somewhere,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, because we did it with Josh.
Yeah.
Because Josh did it.
And oh, yeah, you know what? That's right. He did do it the year before, yes.
I was there for that as well.
Yeah.
This hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. Get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Ray in Norristown. You're on WIP. What's up, Ray?
Hey, everybody. My favorite afternoon show. I love listening to you guys. You guys have outstanding chemistry. But I call because Fritz.
Uh-huh.
Fritz is my favorite because he seems like he has this self-humor in his tone of his voice. I'm blind. And every time I listen to him, it seems like he has an inside joke that he's holding back and he's cracking up as he's talking about sports like there's more to it. And
that
I always liken that to this movie I used to watch when I was a kid, a long time ago. You know, I said, Dad, you old. It was Police Academy. And it was Steve Guttenberg playing Carrie Mahoney. He's always having self-humor. And I just think it's really funny. I love listening to him just debate and talk to you guys. And they go around and bow, come back, and act like he's this big guy. And
well, Ray, I got to say, that is a perfect comparison. And if you saw Jack during the show, he literally is holding in a joke almost every, I would say 3 of the 4 hours during the show when we're in the studio. That's sometimes I'll stop and I'll go, Jack, what's so funny? Because I feel like he's laughing at me. I feel like he's one of the middle school kids that was laughing at me while I was talking.
Just setting up jokes.
Yes.
And I love hearing your commentary on your analysis on sports, especially the Eagles. Only thing is, I don't want no ice juice.
Oh, no. That's good.
That's okay. Yeah, that's all right. Ice juice isn't for everyone.
What do you like about Spike?
Nothing.
Spike, I love the fact that it's your show.
This took a turn.
Ray, could I ask something personal? Have you always, you said you're blind. Have you always been blind?
No, I lost my sight 5 years ago, but I've always been a WIP, listener. And my father used to listen to your father, and I used to listen to him, and always back. So it was easy for me to start, keep listening to you guys. I listen to you guys every day.
I appreciate that, Ray.
I had to call because Fritz is hilarious, and he always has this humor in his voice. If you listen to him, I have to listen to him, but when I listen to him, he just has this humor, and it's like it just keeps me going. It's positive.
Ray,
appreciate it, buddy.
Ray, we're going to be hearing about this call from him for the next 6 months. So, enough compliments of Jack.
Yeah,
but trying to keep my name on the show, Ray.
Right.
One day at a time, buddy. One day at a time.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep listening always, but I wanted to make this one point about the Sixers.
Yes.
What I don't understand is that Daryl Morey is the worst magician I've ever met. How are you going to make a center that can't play the whole season be given to the actual people as someone that can play and take people to the promised land? He's like being David Copperfield making a doggone plane disappear before my eyes. And it ain't disappearing. It's right there in front of me. He can't play the whole season. And I can't get over that. And then the last thing, and I want to get you guys' opinion, is how can the Sixers be any good when they invested all the team in 3 players that all can't be on the floor at the same time, and they're undersized? After Andre Drummond, from 6'11", it goes to 6'8", 6'7", 6'6", 6'5". And you can't really compete with some of the bigger teams, like Oklahoma or the Lakers in the West, or even Memphis Grizzlies are bigger. And it just makes it so unfair that we're living on this hope that the team is going to be that much better when it's really worse because all the main players can't be on the floor.
Thank you for the call, Ray. I think the size is the least of their problems right now, to be quite honest with you. I think they will, if things get together and they end up looking like a real team, I think they'll probably trade for a power forward before the trade deadline. But Gershon Yabusele's been good. I think he can play some power forward. I don't know that getting Joel Embiid to play is probably the number one thing. and then they can figure out the other stuff later. You know, thank you for the call. I don't think size is their biggest issue right now, to be honest with you.
Rarely is.
All right.
Yeah, most basketball players are pretty. Yeah. I'm just saying.
What?
What? Yeah, no, we got it. Yeah.
I mean, we're all 6'3 and above, so, you know.
Did you say we?
Yeah.
All right.
Except for me. All right. Screw you guys. Okay, Andrew. You're on WIP. Oh. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
What it do?
What it do, baby?
What it do, baby? I'm just calling. Saquon Barkley continues to show he's the MVP every week. I mean, I don't know how you guys are feeling about that. Want to hear your opinions on that one?
Yeah, see here.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Because I've been thinking about this.
Okay.
I actually want the Eagles to lean into Saquon being the MVP and start giving them the damn football.
Well, they've wasted about 10 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. I've wasted a lot of two touchdowns.
I want them to actually lean into this. And we have a legitimate MVP candidate going. Listen, Jalen.
How do you think QB1's going to feel?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not getting MVP consideration because of these tush pushes. But if these touchdowns were going to Saquon, he would be getting more MVP consideration. I know Saquon is a team player and he's not upset. I'm just saying, though, wouldn't it be his ledger would look a lot nicer right now. He's over 1,000 yards, and he had about 15 total touchdowns right now. About 15 touchdowns.
What if QB1 went up to the coaches and said, hey, we're going to try to get our guy the MVP.
Yes, sir.
Let's do some of those things.
I think that's what he should do.
And
honestly,
maybe not worry about his total touchdown stat.
Yeah.
You know, it means more for Saquon at this moment. So, as I mentioned before, I think he is – I know he's 10th in MVP odds. I know it looks like a long shot.
It's about Saquon.
Yeah. But I don't think a lot of the guys ahead of him actually have any chance. You know, obviously Josh Allen has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar has a chance.
Yep.
Mahomes has a chance, but it seems doubtful at this point.
He'll seem harder to get this year.
But if it ends up being
Jared Goff.
Yeah, if it ends up being Goff, I think Saquon can win it over Goff. I really do.
I agree.
And McCaffrey was close last year.
He was third. He was third in voting.
And Lamar kind of pulled away at the end.
Yep.
But that was a real race for a little bit there.
I agree.
I mean, who's made a bigger impact to the team right now in the league? I don't think there's been – I mean, Josh Allen, probably, maybe, but
– Well, he's probably leading right now. Josh Allen is probably the favorite now.
He is, rightfully so. And if Josh Allen continues to play well, he'll win it.
Yep.
But if Josh Allen slips up for a few weeks, then there's an opening there.
Dude, I had no idea Lamar had 25 passing touchdowns.
Wow.
25 passing touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to make the case that Derrick Henry – he's obviously added a lot to that Ravens team, but but Lamar's been really
good.
He's
been awesome, yeah. No, he's been good.
I got two more things. One, I like to see us go for more play action and under center. I mean, I think that opens up A.J. Brown down the field, Dallas Goedert crossing routes, Devontae Smith will slant routes over the middle. I think Jalen needs to be more comfortable with that.
Okay.
And Jet, quick question to my biggest hater here. I'm stuck between trading Boehm or spending money or developing our minor league system. I mean, what are your thoughts on that third base spot?
Appreciate the phone call, Andrew.
Yeah. What do you think, Jack?
I think they're going to trade Boehm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. By the way, not a hot start to the week for OK.
No. OK, Andrew, with a list of topics from 3 weeks ago.
Sure. Sure. And I know, Spike, you have your rules.
Yes.
The bill of Spike.
Yep.
If I could do the bill of Jack, and the one thing callers do that drives me nuts,
yep,
it's what do you guys think about this?
Yeah.
We're Yeah. We'll give our thoughts. Don't you worry.
We sure will.
Yeah, you're not dictating the phone call. I love it. I love okay, Andrew, but...
Well, you don't.
Well, today was a big step back. After you named him an afternoon show caller.
We all voted.
No, we didn't.
We voted 2-1.
You bullied Ike into saying yes.
I didn't bully anyone.
And I kept it... Right,
I actually enjoyed him.
I mean,
he came up with bread and butter, man.
Yeah. He did come up with bread and butter.
He drove all the way out to Lansdale Dental.
Very much appreciated. But then again, sometimes he just goes too far.
Like, he does.
He went with toast.
Yeah.
For a cornerback. I mean, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my guy Louie's fighting for his life this day is an afternoon.
That's why he's not great Andrew or good Andrew. He's okay Andrew. He's getting there.
I don't think he is, actually. I think he's regressing in front of our eyes.
We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Never too early to book your holiday party at Chickies and Pete's. Book now for November or January and get a party upgrade. Visit ChickiesandPete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
November's a big, big month. Obviously, you got the holidays, Thanksgiving, football's going on. You also don't want to miss out on making sure you're ready for Christmas. And that's where National Appliance Warehouse comes in to help take care of all of your appliance needs. And a lot of people say, Black Friday savings events, they're not the same as they used to be. That's not the case at National Appliance Warehouse. Right now, the Black Friday mega sale is going on. Mark Stamack and his team have negotiated huge discounts directly from the manufacturers and are passing those great prices on to you. It's the biggest savings event of the year. So don't just think, you're going to get the best price at National Appliance Warehouse. That's guaranteed through Price Assure. It's also in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware, on top of the great Black Friday savings event that's going on right now, their biggest of the year. You're going to get the best appliances for you. You got Gen Air. Been talking about Gen Air a lot. They have all the Gen Air products you could need. They have Sub-Zero. They've got Budget. Whatever you could possibly need for your appliance, if your appliances for your house, they have you covered. And on top of that, they have an unbeatable customer experience. It is what they value. They value walking in. You feel like family. That's how I feel when I walk in National Appliance Warehouse. Unbeatable customer experience. So don't wait. The Black Friday mega sale is going on right now. Learn more at nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fred sent you.